You're listening to audio from North Monroe Baptist Church. To find out more about the church or donate to this ministry, visit northmonroe.com.
And a year ago, if any one of you would have told us what kind of year 2020 would have been, we wouldn't have believed it, right? I mean, can you think back a year ago where you were on this Sunday in 2019, about to enter 2020? We were excited. I remember where I was. I was sitting somewhere over in this area. And I remember Cody challenging us to think about the new decade as we entered into the new roaring 20s, as we've coined it, right? That we were had nothing but excitement. And he challenged us to think about it and what all we could accomplish in this new decade. And so I was filled with excitement about the new 2020 decade, but then I was quickly terrified, realizing that my oldest daughter would become a teenager. It scares me. So parents of teenagers, I'm going to need your help and your advice, okay, as I enter in this decade of having one of my own. And if you know my daughter, then pray for me now, okay? But this new decade started, like I said, with so much excitement. So much excitement, but then it quickly shifted. It quickly shifted to one of uncertainty and one of unknown, right? I mean, it only took a couple months, and 2020 was not something we could have seen coming. I mean, restaurants closed, schools closed, the church building closed, and we were told to stay home. And so we did. We stayed home, and we watched the news, probably too much, and we got on Facebook, and we binged all of the shows, and we got very familiar with Zoom. I mean, 2020 was so wild that a Tiger King captivated us all, right? I mean, this is the year of crazy. And if we weren't isolated enough, we were even more divided when it came to politics and social injustice and whether or not to wear a mask or not, all during the middle of a worldwide pandemic. This year has been difficult. And I think we did a lot of hearing and a lot of reading, but I don't know how much listening that we actually did and how much doing that we were able to accomplish. So if you have a Bible with me, I hope you will turn with me to James chapter 1. Turn with me to James chapter 1 this morning. Let me catch you up kind of where we're going to be. So I hope that you know this, but James was the author of the book of James, hence the name James, right? James was also the brother of Jesus. Could you imagine being the brother of Jesus, right? I mean, could you imagine the pain that may have brought, the frustration that may have brought on being the brother of a perfect sibling? Now, you maybe can have convinced yourself that your parents have already dubbed your siblings perfect, but they're not. Jesus was, though. I mean, could you hear Mary saying, man, James, why can't you just be a little more like Jesus? Like, can't you clean up your room like Jesus does? I mean, every argument James ever had with Jesus, James was wrong. Like, that's a struggle, knowing that is happening. He is literally the perfect sibling. And so James was no Jesus for sure, but if there was any reason to doubt Jesus, James would have it. He grew up with him. He saw everything happen, but James introduces his letter as, he says, I am James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, he knew what was going on. And he begins to address how to deal with trials and how to deal with them because they're inevitably going to come. And I think that we can all relate to that in this year of 2020. We've experienced our fair share of trials. And he hits on this idea of Christian maturity and addressing themes of wisdom and humility and perseverance and overcoming temptation and understanding that God has what's best for us in mind. So turn with me to James chapter 1. I'm going to pick up in verse 19 this morning, but here's what I hope that you hear, that there are no days off when following Jesus. You see, salvation is freely given, but following Jesus requires work. Here's what James says in verse 19. He says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness, rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Let's pause there for a minute. The first thing I want you to see is that following Jesus is a call to listen. You see, listening is a requirement here. It's not a suggestion. Listening requires more than just presence in the room. And all the wives said, amen, right? Like, listening is active. It's not passive. Listening is intentional. It takes effort. And James is echoing this Jewish wisdom traction about this misuse of the tongue and the anger that can result of it. You see, the lack of listening combined with the lack of restraint in speech leads to ill-tempered action. What does he say? He says, quick to hear. Quick to hear. How often are we too concerned with a response to truly listen to what is being said? How often are we too concerned about voicing our opinion before we really hear someone else's? He says we're quick to hear, but then he says we should be slow to speak. Our mouth can get us in trouble really quickly, can't it? That's the story of my life, I think. And it is so easy for us to press enter on a comment on Facebook when we disagree. And it's so easy for us to post or to share something before we process how it represents Christ to the world. But James tells us to be slow to speak. We can quickly ruin our witness to those lost friends around us. But he also says slow to anger. And that doesn't mean that all human anger is sinful, right? What it means is that quick-tempered, selfish anger of the world betrays our lack of trust in God and a lack of love for others. So that's the anger he's referring to. And I think 2020, this year, we could all say we've been a little angry. Maybe at God, maybe at other people. I mean, we've been so quick to get angry when someone disagrees with us, when someone doesn't see things the way that we see them, but we're so quick sometimes to be angry. So the more than ever, we should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We need to listen. I read it put like this. It says, the self-reliant anger of man, even when directed against some wrongdoing, fails to recognize that mere human reproach cannot change another person's heart, and thus it does not produce the righteousness of God. We aren't going to argue or shame anyone into heaven. So we've got to begin to listen. It's only the grace of God that is going to change a person's heart. So we've got to begin to listen. But we need to listen to the Father if we want our heart to truly listen and love those around us. You see, God is holy, right? I think we can agree on that. If you're a follower of Jesus, you know that God is holy and that he is righteous, and he requires us to model his righteous character, to model his character. And that's why what James tells us to put away all filthiness and wickedness, all filthiness and wickedness. You see, the summer after my junior year in high school, I went to a Young Life camp. You see, Young Life is this high school outreach organization. It's a parachurch organization that their sole goal is to share the gospel with high school students. Maybe you're familiar with Young Life. If you're in the Neville High School or that area, they have a club there. If you're not, get plugged in. Find out what it is. It is a great organization. It helps shape my life and who I am. But I went to a Young Life camp the summer after my junior year. It was called Wilderness Ranch. And this wasn't like any other camp. This was not one of those camps you just go to and there's services. This was a camp where we got to actually backpack through Colorado for 5 days. That was the camp. We got to backpack through Colorado, the mountains of Colorado, for 5 days. It was incredible. It was one of the best trips I've ever been on in my entire life. We got to see all sorts of things. We peaked the 14,000-foot mountain. We got to see all the different animals. We got to spend a night alone, actually, by ourselves. It was a little scary, but it was awesome. I mean, this was an incredible, incredible trip. But do you know what they don't have on the trail? Showers. They don't have showers in the mountains of Colorado. I don't know if you know that or not. So we did not shower for 5 days. And you could imagine a group of teenage boys and girls not showering for 5 days, wearing the same pair of clothes, hello, for 5 days. The only thing we wanted to do when we got back to base camp was take a shower. And can I tell you, it was the greatest three-minute shower we were ever allowed to take in our entire life. I mean, it was great, but I don't know if you felt that way. But that is the idea here in verse 21. The stripping off of dirty clothes based on the desire to have nothing to do with that dirt ever again. We must remove the dirt and distractions to listen. Here's how I think we do that. We spend time in God's word to be able to listen to what he says. We spend time in God's word to be able to listen to what he says. We put off our before Jesus patterns of life, and we put on the word of God. To be able to put something on, we have to put something off. See, consistent daily time in God's word is how we listen. Consistent daily time. You know, I hear sometimes from our students, man, I just haven't felt God in my life. I haven't felt his presence. I don't really know what to do. I feel so far away from God. And my first question is this: when was the last time you opened your Bible? They're like, I don't know, it's been a couple weeks, a month or two. I was like, well, let's start there. Because I think sometimes as believers, we say we want to be used by God, but we aren't willing to listen to his voice. We aren't willing to listen to his voice. I'm a firm believer that you will not grow in your relationship with Christ if you aren't spending time in his word. You aren't going to grow if you don't spend time in his word. I mean, you can watch all the sermons, you can listen to all the podcasts, you can read all the Christian books, but nothing can replace the word of God, because we must be a hearer before we can be a doer. Because there's no days off when following Jesus. Look at James continues to write. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is like a hearer of the word but not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed at his doing. Following Jesus is a call to action. Following Jesus is a call to action. Being doers of the word and not hearers only is the only proper response that we should take to the word of God. And that's not just the gospel, that's the entirety of Scripture. We need to allow it to take root in our lives. I mean, here the hearing is implied that we must hear before we can do. But to be a doer of the word, we must know the word. I want you to pull out your phone real quick. It's okay. It's allowed. Just pull out your phone real quick. I'm serious. I really want you to pull out your phone real quick. Hold on, real fast. Really quickly. I want you to open your camera app, okay? Just slide up most phones. If you don't know where the camera app is, just lean into the person next to you, okay? I want you to take a selfie. It can be just you. It can be you and your family. Just take one, though. Okay, we don't have all morning. Just take one selfie, please. Just one. We're there. Okay. All right. Is everybody, we good? Okay. Now put your phone away. Put your phone away. Now, how many of y'all already forgot what you look like? Right? You'd be like, no, of course I don't. I take selfies every morning. No, you haven't forgot. Like, how crazy would it be if you would have already forgotten what you look like right after you just took a selfie? But that is what James tells us. That is what James is telling us when he says that James tells us that a person who looks at themselves and forgets what they look like is just like someone who hears God's word but does nothing about it. I mean, it makes no sense, right? But on the contrary, James says, the one who is a doer of acts, he will be blessed. And at the end of chapter 2, in fact, in verse 26, James writes this. He says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. You see, you can have works without faith, but you can't have faith without works. We can do good things, but it doesn't mean we have faith, but we can't have faith and not do works. When I was 15, I was riding in the car with one of my friends. They had their learner's permit, so he was driving. He was 15 as well, and his mom was in the front seat, and he was doing everything great. He was a great driver. He was really safe. He wore a seatbelt. He turned his blinker on when he changed lanes. He had his hands at 10 and 2. At least that's where it was supposed to be when I was 15. I don't know what it is now, but he was doing all the correct things. He checked his mirrors every 5 seconds. He made sure he stopped at yellow lights and especially reds. He did all the different things. Like, he did it all right until he reached to change the radio. And in that moment, his mom/driving instructor slapped his hand away. It's like, you can't touch the radio. You can't mess with the radio while you drive. It's a distraction. As my friend responded to his mom, as young men do, he said, but mom, you change the radio all the time when you drive. You can probably see how this played out a little bit well, right? His mom then responded kind of in a frustrated tone at this point, and she said, do as I say, not as I do. Have you ever heard that before? Maybe you've said it. Maybe you've used that phrase. Maybe the same scenario, right? Like, do as I say, not as I do. And I've always thought that phrase was really interesting, right? Because it doesn't really lend us the greatest example to follow. Do as I say, not as I do. It's hard to listen to someone if they're not doing what they're saying, right? But if we're real honest with ourselves, how often is that the example that we set following Jesus to the lost world around us. Do as I say, not as I do. But they're watching what you do. They're watching what we do. They don't care about what you say until you do it. And so we can't live a life that says that I just want people to do what I say and not what I do. We need to do we want them to do what we say because we are already doing it. You see, if we're going to reach your circle and your city, then you must be a doer. If you're going to reach your circle and your city, then you must be a doer. Because here's the thing, we can't expect a different outcome if we keep doing the same thing over and over. We can't blame the culture changing. We can't blame postmodern. We can't blame these things if we're not willing to do it ourselves, to do what God's word says. Because it'd be like forgetting who we are after just looking in a mirror or just taking a selfie. It doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, we've got to start to set the example in speech and in conduct and in love and in purity. Because one thing I've learned is that God is willing, God tends to use those who are willing more often than those who are ready. And if you'll listen to his word, if you'll do what it says, he will do greater things than you can even imagine. I've gotten to witness it this semester with our college students. It's been incredible to see because we have a mission, and it's to make disciples. We have a mission, it's to make disciples. Don't let your preparation keep you from activation. Don't let your preparation or lack of preparation keep you from activation. I mean, the question is, do you want to make a difference? Do you want to step into your purpose? Do you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself? Then why wait any longer? This year is almost over. The time is now. You see, Scripture tells us that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So let me ask you this question. Do you believe in God and his word, or you just agree with it? Think about that for a second. Do you believe in him and his word, or do you just agree with it? Because I would say that belief without action is just agreement. So will you be a doer of the word or a hearer only? See, because there's no days off when following Jesus. There's no days off. Look what James continues on in verse 26. He says, if anyone thinks that he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself abstained from the world. Following Jesus is a call to obedience. Following Jesus is a call to obedience. See, James is suggesting that the tongue is like a wild animal, that under proper control, it can be dictated to accomplish a great good. But when it's left to its own, it can be destructive. And its destructive powers can be enormous. You see, when we lack discipline in our speech, when we lack discipline in what we say, we deceive ourselves about the reality of religion. Of our religion. You see, James is telling us that the true test of religion is not a Sunday morning worship service, but the real test is obedience. The real test is obedience, because without it, religion is vain, it is empty, it is useless. In fact, James goes on to tell us what religion is, but keep in mind, he's not trying to summarize all of what true worship is to God. He's just telling you this. In fact, Calvin says he does not define generally what religion is, but reminds us that religion without the things he mentions is nothing. It's the idea that we get in our Christian language, phrase we throw around, the in the world but not of it. Right? We throw that phrase around. Something you need to be in the world but not of it. We must stay engaged with the Father while remaining unstained from the world. This is this idea. And I think James is onto something. He's laying out that when we are actively serving others, it helps us keep ourselves abstained from the world. When we're actively serving, it helps us keep ourselves abstained from the world. So if we stay plugged in to his word, it will protect us from the world. I was scrolling through Facebook on Tuesday, and I came across a post from Johnny Phillips. Maybe you saw it. And I couldn't have come at a better time. I couldn't have come at a better time because as Christmas was only days away, and parents were preparing for the fun and the chaos that was about to consume their home, this is what he said. It said, parents of little ones, and in parentheses he put, especially men, as the lovely season of putting together or putting those simple toys and play sets together begins, remember to humble yourselves and submit to those instructions. So true. The creator of that toy slash playset gave you instructions to follow. And as in life, we can try on our own, but it will leave us frustrated and all jacked up. It's the truth. It really will. He concludes this. He says, the moral of this story is to submit to your creator's instructions. And then he put Jesus in parentheses. And find life and find peace. And I came across that and I said, that's it. That's it, that following Jesus is a call to obedience. Following Jesus is a call to obedience. And just like Johnny said, that if we'll obey the instructions, if we'll obey God's word and do what it says, just obey God's word and do what it says. It's so simple, right? Obey the instructions and do what they say. But it's the truth, because there's no days off when following Jesus. Following Jesus is a call to listen. It's a call to action. It's a call to obedience. You see, grace is free, but following takes work. And somehow in our mind, I think in Christian world, we've gotten this idea that when I pray a prayer and walk an aisle, that we're good to go. But just like anything else that we desire, anything else we want to work for, it takes work and discipline. I played baseball in high school. And we would run a whole lot of tandem relays from the outfield. And if you grew up playing baseball, and especially in the outfield, you probably know what a tandem relay is. I'm not going to go tell you what it is. It's just know it was a monotonous drill we ran all the time. And we'd always ask all the time, why do we continue to run these relays over and over and over? It's because our coach wanted us to get better at them. And so that when those things would happen sometimes in the game, maybe not, when they would happen, though, that we would be able to do it well. So we had to put in the work in practice so that we could form in the game. And somehow in our Christian world, we've gotten this idea that we don't have to put in work to follow Jesus. Work is a part of it. And here's why it's important for us as believers to put in the work of listening, of action, and obedience. Here's why it matters. Because there are people outside of these doors. There are people outside of these doors that no one is fighting for. That no one is fighting for. And they need to hear the hope that they can have in Jesus. We've been given a mission. We've been given a task. We've been given a job to start to put in work. And maybe you're thinking, you know, I just don't have time to fit anything else into my schedule. We're just so busy. Maybe you're thinking, I just don't have the emotional energy to invest in anyone else. I just don't have time to cultivate new friendships and build bridges with people. But I would argue that they don't have time for you not to. Maybe you've heard it put this way, that those who don't know Jesus are drowning in the ocean and they just need you to throw a life vest to them. Sounds simple enough, right? But the reality is that they have already drowned. They have already drowned and they need a savior to rip them up out of the bottom of the ocean and to breathe new life into them. Because there's an urgency to share the gospel. There's an urgency to share the hope of Christ that we see and that we celebrate. And maybe this morning that you're one of those who doesn't feel fought for. The one that's drowned and at the bottom of the ocean needing new life this morning. If that's you, I hope that you'll walk through these doors right over here and go to our Belong Center and talk to one of our pastoral staff. We would love to tell you how you can leave this morning with the same hope and the same life that we have in Jesus. Maybe you need to go public about your relationship with Christ through baptism, or you want to join our church. You can go through those doors as well, and we'll help you get that settled. But I'd say, hey, if this is your first time this morning, stop by the Connect Center. We want to meet you. We want to help connect you. We want to help plug you in so that you can be on the team to go after the world with Christ. Because you make us better. We need you to be a part of what's going on. We'd love to meet you. We've got a gift for you. But here's what I want you to hear. Belief without an action, without action is just agreement. So do you believe in Jesus this morning, or do you just agree with him? Do you believe in him, or you just agree with him? Because here's what we don't know. We don't know what 2021 is going to hold. Like we said this at the beginning, like if you would have told us all of what was going to happen in 2020, we wouldn't have believed you. So we're not even going to try to attempt to tell you what 2021 is going to bring. But one thing I do know is this, is that God is the same yesterday, today, and he's going to be the same forevermore. And we have a task. So let's get to work. No days off. Would you pray with me? Father God, we are thankful for you this morning. God, we know that we have a task. We know that we have been given a mission. And God, we ask that you place someone on our heart. And God, as we go out through these doors, we know that we're entering the mission field. Give us the strength and the encouragement and the boldness to share your hope in this new year. So, Father, we ask this morning, if there's any here that need to hear your voice for the first time, that they listen and that they settle that account this morning. Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the hope that you've given us, the new life that you've breathed into me. I pray that we can share that message well. That we can not only hear, but we can also do. And that people will see us or want to hear what we say because we are already doing it. Father, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.